Formed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Questions People Ask, Part 1, A Look at Spiritual Development. This particular part of this series is based on Reggie McNeil's book, Get a Life. In this session, we'll be looking at Mark chapter 11, verses 20 to 24. What kind of faith is yours? What is your personal reaction to some of the amazing promises in Scripture? There are skeptics who consider what they read as proof that the Bible is not authoritative. Others believe God's word to be true, but hold doctrinal positions that place miracles in only specific periods of history. And there are a few who accept the promises as part of daily Christian faith. On two separate occasions, Jesus declared that mountain-moving power was available to those who exercise faith. The promise, if it occurred just once in Scripture, is reliable. To present it in multiple settings highlights its significance for all believers. Mark chapter 11, verses 20 to 24, our text. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 21. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then the disciples said to Jesus privately, and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by fasting and praying. It can be a life-changing moment when you realize that God has promised supernatural power to followers of Jesus Christ. God's miracle-working power is not limited to salvation. God wants to manifest his power, his glory, his forgiveness, his joy, and his peace in and through our lives daily. To understand mountain-moving faith, we need to consider three principles of Jesus' teaching in these two passages. First, consider the spiritual dimension of powerful faith. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. Jesus was using physical illustrations to communicate spiritual truth. When he said, say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, he wasn't teaching a course on landscape design. He wasn't explaining principles of horticulture when the fig tree died. In Matthew, Jesus used mountain-moving faith to teach his disciples who failed to defeat demonic forces. In Mark, Jesus addressed the rebellion of Israel and their refusal to accept the kingdom of God. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus encountered many who wanted to make him a political or military leader. He reminded them that his kingdom is not of this world. John 18, in verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." We struggle with an inability or unwillingness to operate according to spiritual principles. We are dominated by the material world. Materialistic greed causes spiritual blindness. A failure to acknowledge the unseen forces that affect our lives prevents us from using the power of faith promised by Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. "We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Jesus used the terminology of moving mountains to move our perspective from the limits of time and space to God's infinite supernatural power. And then second, consider the spoken expression of powerful faith. Mark 11, verse 24. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Jesus emphasized the practice of speaking faith into action. "Say to this mountain." This concept has been ignored by large parts of the Christian community. Some fear being mislabeled charismatic if they speak to demons or mountains that threaten our ministry for Christ. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Notice where the book of the law should not depart. God said, "Keep the word in your mouth." You'd expect God to tell Joshua to keep the book in his heart. But we take the word of God to speak it in faith. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." A spoken expression of faith is essential to the salvation experience. When Jesus delivered demons from demonic strongholds, he spoke directly, calling the demons by name. And when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he could have just prayed for a resurrection, but Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." Some Bible scholars believe that every dead person in Bethany would have come out of the grave if he hadn't called Lazarus by name. When a mountain is standing in the way of your spiritual victory, you need to accurately identify it. Maybe a fear of failure stops you from attempting a new task. Or a negative experience is holding you hostage. Is a sin pattern robbing you of joy in your faith? Are financial struggles creating unnecessary strength? Maybe physical illness or some emotional suffering is quenching your desire to serve the Lord. Instead of praying generic prayers, begin attacking the mountains. Be specific. Speak directly to the object of your prayer. Some Christians assume that because God knows our heart, we don't need to verbalize our request. When we speak directly to the mountains and claim God's promises, we are not informing God of the situation. Speaking to mountains is for our benefit. Verbalizing what we desire God to do in our lives acknowledges a humble dependence. Calling the mountains by name helps us focus on the struggle and prompts us to express thanksgiving and deliverance. And then third, Consider the sustained dedication of powerful faith. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. So Jesus said to them, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. This illustration of the mustard seed is often misapplied. Something like, well, if you just have a tiny bit of faith, God can use your little faith to accomplish significant things. Jesus doesn't promote small faith. In fact, he rebuked the disciples and others for their lack of faith. Matthew 6:30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Matthew 14 and verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And then Matthew 16 and verse 8. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? The mustard seed illustrates powerful potential, not small size. And three characteristics of the mustard seed must be applied to your faith for you to experience the power Jesus promised. Mustard seeds illustrate limitation. Mustard seeds produce mustard trees. They don't produce apple trees or orange trees. Mustard seed faith is powerful, but its power is limited to producing things consistent with God's word. Jesus is not promising to give you whatever you want. God's power is limited to bringing him glory, not the fulfillment of selfish desires. Mustard seeds illustrate expectation. When a mustard seed is planted, a mustard plant will come out of the ground. You can't see it happening, but you expect it to occur. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you expect God to answer prayers? Mustard seeds illustrate dedication. A seed requires time and growth to germinate and finally break through the soil. And it continues developing for many months before it's a mature plant. The one making the promises of mountain-moving power is not some magic genie, but the creator of the universe. God wants to demonstrate his power in your life. His supernatural activity didn't stop with the cross. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You think about that, and you have a great day.